Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
It's like I was giving you a little hug with the opening words of the podcast. I was trying to give you good energy with that one.
I felt the direction, the handoff, the transfer ends.
The warm tickle.
You are in the mood to give me a tickle. You have been a very sentimental girl lately.
Frosty girl, friendly girl. Well, guess what, readers? Bone and I sidebarred today and had a long conversation, just us girls.
Just us girls. Ooh. No audio rolling. It was just us talking, catching up.
And we have to make time for that. Because honestly, I think the last 5 or 6 times I had talked to you before that was all on the pod. And I need my moment with my sister.
You need that, because otherwise you're going to get locked into the podcast tone when you're talking to your sister.
Oh, yeah.
Forever. And then, God, doesn't that sound just embarrassing? It's like, who does this? It's like, you know, I think Bob Barker, this is a terrible example, but before he passed, just kind of was yelling at everybody he ever saw, yelling at his children, his family. I'm sure.
No.
I'm making a story up, but it's like, you know, you get sort of sealed into a certain frequency of voice, I think, if you talk too much in that way.
That's why I just need to step away with just my sister and I and say, hey, it's me.
This is my real voice.
You know what I've noticed is your tone of voice has remained mostly the same over the course of the years of this podcast, and mine has gotten deeper, and I think there's a clear reason.
Go ahead and talk about it.
Well, it's cigarettes, I believe. And
you
look,
have deepened. You have become deeper.
I don't want to go any deeper. I want to be able to remain a baritone and not become a full bass like Idina Menzel.
Truly, the hardest thing to become as your life progresses is a bass. And to see you lose your once, I would describe your range as
10 or 2.
I would say you're up there with those tenors that can also call themselves 2.
I was not a tenor in high school choir, but thank you. An all-state choir.
You
were
counter tenor vibes. In Pop Roulette, sometimes you would launch notes that I would be like, excuse me, miss, I saw you from across the room. Unfortunately, that's a Chris Brown song. And I'm sorry. It's
How
a good
dare
hook,
you.
Though.
Hey, no, we're not doing that today.
I
we're
just
not
want it to
giving
be transparent.
Chris Brown any praise.
No,
stop
not,
that.
Not on tonight. No,
not
no, no,
on
no, no,
tonight.
No, 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 no. I rescind, I retract.
Rescind, retract. I.
But you have the range, and I wouldn't hate to see Nicotine take that from the girl.
You know, I feel the actual beginnings of the wean off for good. I have to reframe my whole relationship with it, which is to actually preemptively feel nauseous at the thought of wanting to smoke a cigarette. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
But it's good because I'm replacing all of my pacifiers, my addictions with other things like the New York Times crossword puzzle.
I've heard that it is quite the thriller, quite the weekly thriller. Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful, you know, it's like a fossil you excavate every day. You dust off the dirt, find yourself a bone.
I get so frustrated when I try to play them. They really are a skill you have to develop.
Because it's not even about like, oh, what's my vocabulary? What are my references? Just everybody, if you feel this way, if you feel this way, download a New York Times app, the crossword puzzle app. Purchase, if you have the money, a Monday pack.
Mm.
Start off on the Mondays, you do your easiest days, and then you build your skill set from there. And today, honey, I completed the Sunday one.
I had no doubt in my mind that once you said you were going to get involved in the New York Times crossword puzzles, that you would thrive in that space. There was no doubt in my mind. I was like, he is going to slay those puzzles down.
Can I tell you, I never felt the doubt from you.
No.
I always felt your support, and I always cherished it. I never took it for granted.
That was all you were going to get in your P.O. box, because that was all that I was sending.
You weren't going to put in any other shenanigans. You weren't going to mess with the postage.
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen.
No problem.
I see. I respect that.
Listen, before we get into today's topic, I did write down something and circle it.
What did you say?
Which I think probably means I wanted to share it with my sister. I came up with, while I was making myself today's cocktail, which is just, you know, a Hendrix and tonic with a splash of Cran.
Cute.
I thought to myself, oh my goodness, splash of Cran. Is that a thing? Ms. Splash of Cran.
Oh, as a drag artist?
Yes. Please tell me.
I don't think it's a drag artist. I don't think it's any kind of performer. I don't think it's a stage name.
Hurts.
I know, but I think it's
Splasha.
A song. No, I think it's a song.
You think Splasha Cran is a song? If you say it like this, Splasha Cran. You're not telling me that's not an Oscar-nominated actress?
I think
Splasha Cran.
A song called Hendrix, parentheses, Splasha Cran.
Oh, you think I should write the Hendrix theme song.
Yes, yes.
So you think, wow, this is huge. I'm going to have to think on that
one. You have the gift. You have the gift on that one.
We're going to have to ruminate. Speaking of splash a different.
Oh, splash a different.
Splash a different liquids.
Splash a different liquids. Today is a special day.
We have a big day. Big day.
This is day 9 of our 12 days of culture. And my sister, Matt Rogers, picked this one out. I think it's a good one. I think it's a good one.
Once I remembered this as a cultural phenomenon, I knew it was on the list. And by the list, I mean it was one of the 12 days.
Careful.
There is crossover. No, just kidding.
Potential?
This day, let's discuss it. On the ninth day of Christ.
We're keeping that?
On the ninth day of culture, it was October 29th, 1993.
The first Got Milk ad drops. It does the body good.
Milk culture was 90s culture.
Yes. Milk ruled in the 90s. And if you were lactose intolerant, or if you did not drink dairy, if you were a vegan, if you had any restriction that precluded you from drinking milk, I'm sorry, but that was the culture you had to live in.
You were not seen.
You were not seen.
You were not recognized by big culture, because big culture at the time was Got Milk. And every A-list girl was up in a Got Milk ad. And I'm telling you, when you actually look at the list of people who did Got Milk ads, Beyonce and Tina Knowles, Serena Williams and Venus Williams. We've got
Frankie Muniz,
baby,
and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, Miss JTT was giving you a Got Milk ad. The Clooney, everyone across every demographic.
Bobby Flay.
Oh,
I'm just
God.
I'm just looking at some of these people and I am blown
that
away.
Long pause.
Bobby Flay.
Yes. This was a time in life when parents were telling their children, because they were being told by, I guess they thought doctors, but really maybe it was just an advertising company, that you needed to drink 2 full glasses of milk per day in order to maintain healthy bones, because the disease that was very real and on everyone's lips in the 90s was, say it with me, the big O, osteoporosis. People thought this was something that was a real
snuck up on you. Yeah.
Sorry, but pandemic.
Oh.
Which I don't like to say.
You went there, girl. You really went there. But look, I mean, did they succeed? Do you think they succeeded in eliminating the scourge that is osteoporosis? I think it still exists today, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I don't doubt that the Got Milk campaign was huge and was culture defining. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, were they successful in their mission of, their supposed mission of getting rid of osteoporosis? Or did they just want to get, you know, Bon Jovi next to Alicia Silverstone in a magazine spread?
Is that something that happened?
No, I'm just making...
Once you conjured up that image, I was like, if that picture exists, I must see it. I love the idea of Bon Jovi and Alicia Silverstone on like a ranch.
Yes.
With their Got Milk stashes. But anyway, I'm no David LaChapelle. It's just an instinct. If some photographer out there wants to make it happen, I can only sit back and watch. But yes, this, I believe, made people calcium aware. And
yes,
osteoporosis is not going to be something we cure. It's a thing, and this is important for people to know. It's a thing that can happen to anyone's bones.
Anyone's bones.
Anyone out there. This is incurable. So no advertising campaign could cure it. But I do believe it was positive for the calcium culture, which was big culture.
Big culture.
I think that girls were drinking milk. I was drinking milk. I am the type of girl to go to the kitchen and pour myself a huge glass of 2%.
To this day?
Mama, if it's in the house, I like milk. I think because of milk culture, which was the Got Milk ads. Were you a milk drinker?
I loved milk. Mm. I don't know when the drop-off was for me, when I kind of cut it out. Might have been a few years ago when I tried Whole30, but no, it wasn't even like I had milk all the time. In college, I would go grocery shopping and the big spend was on orange juice. That was the big indulgence.
Huge, huge college drink. I was about to say, yeah, who drinks milk in college? And then I remember, did you ever come to my dorm room when I had that little fridge and I had it chock full of Yoo-hoos?
No.
But oh my
that
God.
Is a dark age, a dark history.
Maybe that's before we were like close friends. It was like freshman year. I had a little mini fridge and it was chock. I'm telling you, there was 34 boxes of Yoo-hoo in there.
34?
It was crazy Bowen Yang. It was crazy Bowen Yang.
Talk about this. What is the appeal of Yoo-hoos to you? I'm genuinely curious. I enjoy Yoo-hoos. I enjoy Yoo-hoos. But for you to have them, you not only stocked, but you had them stockpiled, which is a different concept.
Baby, it was clearly I'm a child inside energy. It was clearly, let me keep a little bit of home. I mean, but to imagine an 18-year-old college boy with that much Yoo-hoo, I just want to go back and shake that girl and be like, you can't be letting people see you have a mini fridge full of Yoo-hoo. This is not a good look. But at
how
the time, you couldn't have told me. I mean, everyone that came in and out, very social place, the dorms. Very social place.
But that is all thanks to the Got Milk campaign.
And this is what I'm saying is the Got Milk campaign and milk culture as a result had its tentacles in kids, impressionable kids.
Let's say something right now. Milk culture is different from calcium culture. Here's why.
Go.
Milk culture before Got Milk was, calcium culture is a part of milk culture, but milk culture before Got Milk was, you had a little crate outside of your door. It's the 60s. You live in the suburbs. It's post, you're living in an economic boom. You're enjoying American success after the big war.
The American image of milk.
The milkman would come up to you. He would be dressed like a gorgeous person.
King.
You would king. A gorgeous king.
He'd be dressed
king.
Like a milk king.
King. In a hat. An apron, maybe.
Oh, mama. And you know a popular narrative around the milkman.
What is?
She been screwing the... She's been screwing the
milkman.
This is someone who was so impeccably dressed and showed up on time every day, dependable king.
Yes.
That he would take your wife.
Fuck her.
He would fuck her. And she would love every minute of it.
And then she would run your knife. If you were to ever confront her about screwing the milkman,
she would fucking kill you. Tell him how.
He would run into your knife 10 times.
10 times.
Now, so back to my point. Milk culture is someone drops it off in these perfectly sized carafes, bottles, whatever.
They couldn't be more attractively shaped, these bottles.
Yes.
Oh! Make me fly.
Calcium culture is Got Milk, Hayden Panettiere holding an exploding carton of milk.
Yes.
In a red gown.
Hello.
Hello.
Iconography down. Shall we look through some Got Milk ads and just sort of explain to the readers what's happening?
Yes. And I just want to say, while you're looking some up, what's remarkable about Got Milk ads are they were the sort of fresh air with Terry Gross interviews of the time. Every celebrity wanted one secretly or not so secretly. They were like, I want to get to a place in my career so that I can one day be approached to do a Got Milk ad.
I mean, I can already tell you, there's one here, and this is not a celebrity who just gives himself over to these types of campaigns.
Tell
Harrison
me.
Ford is in this Got Milk ad looking like the king daddy, just like olive green t-shirt. I'm going to guess, I'm colorblind, remember this. Maybe it's like a dark green tucked into these like dark jeans with this dad belt. He's got his hands in his pockets. The watch is expensive. He's got a Caesar, like a faded, like blonde into gray Caesar happening. And he's got a milk mustache. And
I'm seeing it.
Below it, it says below him the following words. It says, action, 9 out of 10 Americans aren't getting essential nutrients we need. That's a serious gap. But just one more serving of nutrient-rich milk a day for you and your family can help fill it. So here's the direction. Pour one more. Got milk? And honestly, I'm sucking down milk after I see it and read that one. Because it made me remember how much I fucking love milk.
Okay. What do you have to say to people who can't drink it for whatever reason?
Ooh, I'm a big proponent of almond milk now. All the different types of new milk they're coming up with, the nut milks, I love it.
I don't mean to keep putting impediments in front of you.
Oh my God.
Questionably bad for the environment, some of these.
Seriously?
Some of these
Explain
milk alternatives. There's just a lot of water involved. There's just a lot of environmental strain it puts on the world.
Well,
really.
I've got to ask you a question. To ask you a question then. As the person that's going to provide this fodder.
Please.
How do you take your coffee?
Black honey.
Every single time?
I have not had any kind of dairy or dairy alternative in my coffee since 2017. And you better believe that one.
You're telling me.
Any person who served me coffee in the last 4 years,
I'm really racking my brain, and I actually can't remember the last time you had something in your coffee.
Have you seen me? You've seen me many a time. I know for a fact, clutching a vegetal plastic cup full of iced coffee. And what color was that?
It was black.
Don't ever question.
I'm sorry.
My moral stance on any issue. I will always be right. I'm just kidding.
I just want to say we can really point to this as a stark difference between us. Because
That's
you
okay.
know me, I am a light and sweet goddess. Mm-hmm. I need it to be very light and very sweet to the point where I'm really just drinking milky sugar.
So do you like Dunkin' Donuts for that reason? Because that's
I
their style.
I live for Dunkin' Donuts, but I will say they overdo it. I mean, we all know. We've all ordered an iced coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and had that just sort of life or death moment where you drink in just a huge amount of sugar and you say, okay, I can find out this happens and continue on.
Yes.
Shall I choose the smoothest course and just go right into diabetic hell, or just, you know, go out there in the world of coffee shops and continue to find your place, because Dunkin' Donuts is not it.
The smoothest course is the steady beating drum cocoa.
Well, I sort of did something interesting with it. I said the smoothest course was to sort of give in to this corporation of Dunkin' Donuts because of the vast casualness of it all. Whereas for some reason, for me, the rocky, more adventurous path is to forge on and experience more and more coffee locales.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
But yes, that is a big Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers difference.
Let's see who else is standing out to you in these ads.
I mean, I see a really hot one of Matthew Fox, but we don't really recognize her anymore. Kermit the Frog. I mean, can we just talk for a second about Kermit culture?
Kermit.
I mean, if Kermit was doing it, America was doing it. And that's a rule of culture. That's rule of culture number 40.
If Kermit was doing it,
America was doing it. Ugh, her.
I have no words. I truly feel like I don't mean to wind down the conversation. I think we still have a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I think that you've picked such truly an iconic cultural day.
Everyone got involved in this movement.
It was a movement. Thank you. Because,
girl,
it's about the people. And what do every people have?
What do every people have? A skeleton. Yeah.
Skeleton.
What do every people, have?
Bone,
comma, a skeleton.
A skeleton.
What do every people
every
have?
People have
bone.
Bone.
A skeleton. And this is important to remember as we look at Jonathan Lipnicki. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's important to remember.
Reader.
When we look at Noah Wiley, these 90s only icons.
Reader, I want you to, this is the thing you all have to do today. If you want to be on this journey with us, I know we don't sort of, you know, call on you to do too much in terms of actions, because we just want this to be a peaceful listening experience for you.
Yeah,
but
what you
have to do today is Google Jonathan Lipnicki got milk and say the words, what do every people have? Bone, a skeleton. Shout it out loud. We need for you to say it out loud.
And if you don't, then precious one, you're without.
You're without.
And that's sort of our Taylor folklore narrative. That's how we keep stringing together.
Yes.
Because by the end, one thing we wanted to reveal on this episode was by the end, you're going to find out of the 12 episodes, like what the underlying narrative was.
Yeah. And what the name of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's children are.
Yeah. And they're in here.
Sara Ramirez. I'm looking at Sara Ramirez right now.
I mean, wow. I've seen one of Billy Ray Cyrus in 1995, back when it wasn't like joke version of Billy Ray Cyrus. Sorry to him.
Sure. Oh.
Mario is here doing one. Like, I mean, they got
the video
animated
game?
Girls. Oh, from, you know, the very same. By the way, stop everything. Speaking of Mario, in Universal Studios in Japan,
I heard.
There is footage, girl, of the inside of the Mario Kart ride, which is done, and the whole Super Nintendo world in Universal Studios in Japan is done.
It's opening this summer,
this summer.
They're going to be able to go.
Oh, my word. The fact that there's going to be a ride version of Mario Kart is just... It is every... What? I mean, maybe we'll have to return to Mario on another DFC.
Another DFC, we might have to return to Mario. But before we... I just to sort of put the crumb out for the reader, and I want to ask you this.
Go on.
We are not the kind of people to get dressed up for a theme park. Mm-mm. That is not to alienate our listeners who do that.
We're not costume girls. It's fine. But we're just
We're not gay days girls where everyone wears a matching shirt.
We're not paraphernalia queens.
But I think in order to, something has to, it would be, imagine the impact of going on that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed.
As Mario and Luigi.
No.
Oh, queen.
Peach, honey, in a pink gown, blonde wig, crown, turquoise, giant turquoise jewel on your chest.
Yes.
White gloves.
You know what I want for you?
What?
And this is something I would only give to my sister. You should be Princess Peach and I'll be Daisy.
No, queen. You're the Peach. I'm the Daisy.
I don't know, girl. I think that you are truly Peach. And I'm more Daisy. I am. You know you're Peach. It's okay. Maybe. I see it on your face right now. I know. I see you sort of. And this, I want this because it's right, but I will throw this out. This is another concept. Twin Rosalinas.
No. If I'm Peach, then you are Rosalina.
That might be true.
You are Rosalina. You have your...
Oh, no. You know, Dave is Rosalina.
I think you... Well, first of all, you have to play Super Mario Galaxy to really understand this girl's story. Oh, my God. Rosalina has...
Rosalina gets, like, a narrative?
She runs the spaceship that saves Mario. Okay. Pause. So, first of all, Super Mario Galaxy, one of the greatest platformers of all time. Arguably one of the greatest video games of all time.
Oh, my God.
Widely considered... That just sort of that superlative. Mario is on his way to go see Princess Peach. Of course, Bowser swoops in, blows up the castle, takes Peach.
I hate him. Oh my God.
Don't you hate that one?
I hate that one. Always ruining the night.
Always ruining the night. But here's the twist. Mario's about to jump into Bowser's, you know, boat, flying
situation.
Airship.
Situation. Yeah.
But then he goes, Guess what I brought? A giant spaceship comes, lifts the castle off of the ground, and they go off into space. Mario gets dragged up, but then he gets thrown out into full emptiness. But who should save him but Rosalina, who runs a giant space flight complex.
Oh.
And you're like, what's her deal? But she has all of these little star creatures, so adorable, called Lumas.
Oh my God. Lumas? I'm obsessed.
Adorable. And then there's all these different facilities
on
the spacecraft. So cute. Google Luma, right? Luma Mario.
Oh my God. This is such a moment.
The most adorable things.
I need all of them in every color.
In
my home that I live in.
Rosalina is the queen of the Lumas. But she is not a Luma herself.
Yes, she is.
She is a true beauty. True girl.
So she is running the ship that has all the Lumas.
And the ship has so many different facilities. It has a queen. It has a kitchen. It has a shop. It has all these different things. But there's a mysterious library in the corner. And you go, there?
There's always more to the story.
Always more to the story. You as Mario, you go into that library.
Of course.
And you see a lot of Lumas gathered around Rosalina. And she's opening up a storybook. She's about to read to the Lumas. And what she reads to the Lumas is a beautifully illustrated children's tale about a girl who is lost alone in space, crying, wondering where all her friends and loved ones and family went.
Oh,
but who should save
my
her?
God.
But all the Lumas. She meets Lumas and they all, but it's truly the most, I'm not even
so
kidding.
So she read to the Lumas the story of their own experience.
She read to the Lumas the story of a little girl, and you find out the little girl is her at the very end.
Absolutely, you find that out, yeah.
But it's actually so beautifully done, and I have said on record that storybook in Super Mario Galaxy is better and more iconic space children's stories, a more iconic space children's story than The Little Prince. You have to get into Rosalina, reader, and Matt, you are Rosalina. I give you that title. You are Rosalina. Wow. You are the mother. You create the ground for other people. That's
girl,
you.
Girl, mama, that is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And people have said many nice things. They have said such nice things to me ever since I was born. And this ranks as number one.
Thank you.
I just want to close out by asking a question, not about milk, which was the topic of the episode, but rather about Rosalina. Do you think that Peach is absolutely shook that this girl, who's not for nothing queen of the spacecraft,
yes,
comes in. She's queen of a people, the Lumas. I'm sorry. She sweeps along and she saves Mario's life. Okay. You're going to tell me that Princess Peach is not S-H-O-O-K shook in her damn dress of pink at this development? This woman, the hottest woman in the fucking universe, comes along and scoops your man. You're not shook. Literally, what does Princess Peach feel like? Because she should feel like a nervous wreck.
100%. 100%. And guess what? It's kind of like the only thing I can compare it to is if you go to, this is not quite the same, but it's the closest thing. You go to couples therapy.
Oop.
And your therapist seduces your damn man.
Bye.
And your therapist is, by the way, a model.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck with the rest of your life. Good luck booking that life you speak of. Queen.
You're taking me out with this callback, bitch, to Rihanna v. Sierra.
Here's ultimately what, bitch?
No, please close that.
You go up to the air like you had a proclamation.
I was kind of gesturing to you. I was giving you the floor.
Okay.
Because you were about to slip into a beautiful sign-off.
Fascinating. As Wendy said on the Potomac reunion. What we want to say to Milk, while Bowen and I have different opinions on how frequently you should be consumed in what sort of states, be it in coffee, by yourself, sort of in cereal, whatever. I'm sure that's a whole rabbit hole.
I have to say, I love milk. I just don't put it in my coffee. That's it. That's okay. All it is.
Well, like we said, so some people are being a little bit cagier with how they feel about you, but other people on the podcast, namely me, are sort of sucking at
you're talking to you, that is milk. Who's you? The milk or the reader who is listening?
I was talking about my own relationship with milk.
Okay.
What we want to say is, and I want to thank you for giving me the best day. Culture. Ooh, fly.